Welcome to the Beyond Intuitive Eating Podcast, hosted by me, Beth Basham. I am a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, and liberated body coach. I'm also a wife and mama to two amazing little people. With over 20 years of experience, I help women bridge food freedom with optimal health using principles of intuitive eating, foundations of emotional mastery, functional medicine, and neuroscience. This is the space where you get to end the war with your body and discover total confidence and true health from the inside out. All right, so I believe the title of this episode says it all. We're going to talk today about three reasons you eat when you're not hungry, and I'm going to provide some additional insight into what you can do about it. And this is a question that comes up a lot with my coaching clients. And so I felt like it would be a great podcast. We're going to keep it simple. We're going to keep it to the point. And I have this intention right now that you are going to get something from this episode that you haven't heard before, or that you're going to be able to apply in a new way, even if you have heard it before. So let's dive in. I'm going to talk about three reasons, and I'm probably going to share a little fourth reason as well that I think is going to lend a little bit of compassion to your journey as you're navigating this for yourself. So likely you're listening to this if you're somebody who's like feeling a bit of shame or guilt because you ate and you weren't even hungry. And maybe you overate, maybe you didn't, but there's likely this sense of guilt that's like, why did I do that again, right? This is going to be the demise of my health. You know, I have a lot of clients who feel a lot of guilt and shame after eating when they weren't hungry, and they blame themselves. There's a lot of self-judgment that can come up. So let's dive in. The first reason that we may eat when we're not hungry is to soothe emotions. Now, that's going to seem kind of obvious to a lot of you. I mean, there's a very strong message out there that talks about emotional eating. A lot of us consider ourselves emotional eaters. The thing that you might not realize is that this is actually a good thing. Yes, soothing our emotions with food is a good thing. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, what in the world does she mean? You see, at one point or another, your very intelligent body learned that food could help you feel better when life wasn't going so great. So instead of staying down in the dumps and possibly resorting to more harmful coping mechanisms, you went to food, something you needed anyways. And I know you're thinking to yourself, sure, that strategy may not be serving me in this moment, but it's so important to acknowledge that food is only a coping strategy, just when one of many coping strategies. And it's only when we can start to recognize and understand this that we can begin to shift it if we want to. It's always a choice whether or not you want to shift this. But the reality is that food is an amazing coping tool. There's a lot of things that happen in our brain when we consume food. And sometimes, even if we're not hungry, we might use food to soothe those emotions, either to avoid an emotion or just to, you know, maybe an emotion has been too much and it's a way for our nervous system to recalibrate and numb out a little bit, just to, I don't know, rebound from an intense emotion. So if we're using food as an emotion, or if we're using food as a coping tool, I should say, this is not a problem. It doesn't have to be a problem, right? And in fact, the intelligence of your body created this coping strategy for a reason. And I think that's really cool. When we can start to shift the narrative on this and recognize, like, wait a second. Yes, I'm an emotional eater, but it doesn't have to mean something bad about me that I eat emotionally. I think there's a lot of messaging out there that we're trying to cure or overcome emotional eating when in fact it's just a thing that a lot of humans do. Now, some of us may choose to use that coping strategy more often, or not even choose to, but it just happens on autopilot. Food becomes that natural go-to. And again, it doesn't have to be a problem. It's a coping strategy that's been there for you, not against you. And from this place, you're going to be able to discover a solution for yourself from a place of neutrality, again, if you want to shift this. you eating because you're not hungry is not wrong, and it might just be a result of coping with uncomfortable emotion. No problems here. Now, if you want to explore this more deeply, I have a great journal prompt for you. You can either, you know, pause this and write it down, come back to it later, but just go ahead and pull out a sheet of paper or the little pad or the, you know, the little tool that you use, the notepad on your smartphone. I know I have one of those. It's full of a ton of notes from different places and spaces, but write this down. If food is just one coping strategy for soothing my emotions, what other strategies might I lean into in the future? And then how can I set up my environment so food isn't my first go-to soothing strategy? And this journal prompt is just to kind of give you some food for a thought. I mean, there's lots that we could probably pull apart and dissect and open up through that journaling prompt. But for those of you out there who like to put a pen to paper or your thumbs to a smartphone, whatever works for you, try that journaling prompt on for size if you relate to using food as an emotional coping strategy, okay? Now, the second reason that so many of us eat when we're not hungry is because it's a habit. It's literally just a habit. And, you know, it can come from the fact that you've used food to soothe your emotions and you tend to eat when you're hungry, but it may also become a habit over time, just like brushing your teeth, drinking coffee in the morning, or buying that same bread at the grocer's every week, right? It's not uncommon to see these habits as if they're inherently bad. You might say, I'm in a bad habit of eating at night, or the fact that I eat dessert when I'm not hungry means I'm doing it wrong. Have you ever had those dialogues run through your head or something similar? I certainly know I have, and I want to tell you, if this is you, this is super normal. It's super normal to label our habits good and bad. But what if you decided that this habit of eating when you know, aren't necessarily super hungry is literally just that? It's a habit. It doesn't mean anything about you or your value in the world. And believe me when I say this, the cognitive recognition of the truth behind this might be there, but I also recognize that it's sometimes hard to make that leap. It's one thing to say, well, yeah, it's just a habit. And it's another thing to fully practice that and recognize it time and time again and make it a regular practice, because you are entrained. Your brain is literally programmed to fall into all or nothing thinking patterns. This habit's good. This habit's bad. But if we start to neutralize the power of our habits and we just start to recognize they're just habits, then we can really begin to shift them in a more meaningful way if, again, we choose to. And it's much easier to do this from a neutral place than it is from that charged place of, oh my gosh, I was just really bad. I have a habit of overeating at night. Or I was just really good. I ate my broccoli, right? when we can start to neutralize the meaning of our habits, we can actually look at them with that neutral lens and begin to shift them. And I want to share one of my favorite ways to shift a habit. And this can be applied to any habit, but I'm going to specifically talk about eating when we're not hungry. And this does not require willpower or any overthinking, but you literally, I want you to say this out loud when you notice the urge to eat and you're not hungry. I mean this. Like you can practice this, say it out loud. Of course, you know, you may or may not want people around, but I'm telling you, this really does work. And the only way you're going to know it works is if you try it. So what you do is you say the following. The first thing you're going to say is, I dismiss this habit of eating when I'm not in need of nourishment. It's just not who I am. In other words, it doesn't mean anything about me. Okay, that's the first thing you're going to say to yourself. The second thing is, this urge will go away when I dismiss it. Okay, got that? Third thing we say is, it's just my habit voice. It's not me. And we say that because it's true. Your habit voice is not who you are at your core. It's literally just a voice. So we're going to acknowledge that with the third statement. The fourth statement is, I choose to dismiss the urge and habit voice now. I choose to dismiss the urge and habit voice now. A fifth statement, I move my attention, and you can then move your attention to a new productive activity or thing. Sometimes it's nice to get out ahead of it and consider like what you're going to move your attention to. Maybe you're going to open your book and start reading it. Maybe you're going to go for a walk. Maybe you're going to go pet your dog. But you can plan to just say, I move my attention, because your habit brain is going to want to pull you to the food as a way to just stay in the habit. So you do have to actively move your attention to something different. And then you can repeat this process over and over and over and over again as needed. Of course, just like the previous journal prompt I gave you, if you want to write this down, feel free to pause the podcast, rewind a little bit, and write it down. But it's pretty simple. I'm not going to repeat it because you do have the power of reversing, you know, pushing rewind on the podcast, but you certainly can also write it down for yourself and keep it somewhere on a sticky note or somewhere that's easily accessible so you can practice right in the moment. Okay, let's talk about the third reason that you might be eating when you're not hungry. This is one of my favorites. Now, you may have heard of vitamin D or vitamin C or vitamin A, blah, 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 right? But I kind of doubt that you've heard of vitamin S. Can you guess what that is? I wonder if anybody knows. If you've been a client of mine, you might know. But it's vitamin satisfaction. Have you ever thought of satisfaction as a necessary and vital nutrient? Because you see, after years of forcing yourself to eat this way or that way, you might notice yourself making choices with food that don't actually leave you feeling deeply satisfied. Let me explain this a little further. Okay, so for instance, you may have become accustomed to eating fat-free ice cream because it was just the quote-unquote better choice according to some rules and guidelines that you used to follow. And at this point, because of habits, you don't even look at the section of the aisle that has those more rich and creamy, satisfying desserts or ice creams like Ben & Jerry's or Haagen-Dazs or something. Even though you know that Ben & Jerry's does taste exceptionally good to you, right? But here's the thing, like at the end of the day, all of that fat-free ice cream in the world will never be Ben & Jerry's, no matter how you look at it, and despite how much of it you eat. And you might find that you're eating when you're not hungry because you're depriving yourself of the thing that you really wanted in the first place. You know what I mean? Like I know in my diet history, I used to make like sugar-free this and sugar-free that because sugar was the devil and how dare you eat sugar, right? That was the dialogue in my brain. And when I finally just allowed myself to really enjoy like the fullest, sugariest, full-fat version of the thing that I really wanted to eat, two things happened. I oftentimes didn't even finish it because it was often very rich. And I was completely filled up with vitamin S. I was so satisfied. The pleasure that is derived from eating fat and sugar, as an example, just was really, really satisfying when I just let myself eat the thing, right? So, you know, like I see this a lot with people who have dieted chronically. They're still in the habit of choosing, you know, certain low-fat versions or fat-free versions or this or that and the other, like the quote-unquote better choices. And while there can be virtue and value in some of that, because nutrition does matter on some level, oftentimes when we do that on repeat and we're not honoring what we really, 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 really want and what's totally going to satisfy and fulfill that vitamin S need, we end up eating when we're just not hungry because we're trying to satisfy something that we're not going to get from this other product that pretends to be the real thing. So yeah, we need to deeply satisfy ourselves. And it might mean that you eat something that may or may not be on your list of quote unquote healthy foods. It doesn't mean that you have to do it every day, or maybe it does. I don't know. But we do want to eat foods that deeply satisfy us. And some days that might be the full fat, rich, creamy ice cream. Other days it might be a huge bowl of broccoli and almonds and all kinds of other nutrient dense foods, right? Like we can fulfill our needs for vitamin S with a host of foods, but it requires tuning into what those foods might be. And all those foods might have more fat, carbs, or something else you've been avoiding. But when we give ourselves that full permission to fill up that tank on vitamin S, you might be surprised on how you feel and how much you eat or don't eat as a result. So those are the three top reasons that I see within my clients, but I do want to add just another little bonus here, and that is that regardless of whether or not you take these three reasons and you run with them, you might still overeat, or not even overeat. You might still eat when you're not hungry. You might overeat too, but you might not eat, or you might eat when you're not hungry. Sorry, my words are getting all jumbled together. And if that's you, guess what? I just want to share something with you that I think is so important. You are human. You are human. We as humans don't always eat when we're hungry and stop when we're full. That's not necessarily our natural state. That's not what it means to be an intuitive eater. Just the other day, I gave this example to a client I was working with. My daughter, we had, I don't know why, but our meal times were like at different times, and that's not normal. We typically eat as a family, but for whatever reason, because of schedules, she was sitting down to eat by herself, and she looked at me and she's like, "Mommy, I really would love it if you'd sit down with me," because that's what we're used to. I was busy in the kitchen cleaning and I don't even know, running around trying to pick up because my house is a perpetual disaster with two young children. And I stopped and I looked at her. I said, "Yeah, I can sit with you." And she's like, "Will you eat with me too?" Like, she really valued that time that we have together. So I sat down, I grabbed a small bowl of the thing. I wasn't hungry. I'd already eaten, but I ate with her because I wanted to share in that connection. And it didn't have to mean anything about me or my ability to be or not be an intuitive eater. It didn't have anything to do with that. It was about the connection I had with her. And here's the thing. I trusted myself. I said to myself, I don't really even say it. It's just kind of part of who I am now. But it's like, even if I'm eating when I'm not hungry, it doesn't have to mean anything about me. And it doesn't have to mean anything about my health either. I trust my body to self-regulate. I trust that at future meals, my caloric needs will be equalized because I trust my body. I trust its hunger and fullness cues. And even though right here, right now, I ate when I wasn't hungry, I know that my body will adjust over time. And that mindset has brought me immense peace, and it has also brought me so much relief when it comes to the struggle that I used to have with food. And just another quick example. So we just had a holiday the other weekend, and we had a really rich, beautiful, big meal, right? Lots of food, very filling, lots of all the things. And again, my daughter, after about like half an hour after the meal, she's like, "Mom, it's time for the carrot cake." And at the time, I was not hungry at all. Like, I was so full from this meal. And I looked into her little eyes and she was so excited about the carrot cake. And I said, "You know what? Let's do it. Let's go ahead and sit down and have a piece of carrot cake." And knowing I wasn't hungry, I served myself, you know, a slightly smaller portion, but I ate the whole thing. And I wasn't hungry at all. In fact, I was probably overly full. And that wasn't a bad thing. It didn't have to be, because I've decided that my body can be trusted, that I might eat when I'm not hungry. I might overeat from time to time. And my body knows how to self-regulate in future days, at future meals, snacks, etc. My body knows how to get enough energy, and I can trust that. I can trust my hunger and fullness cues. Now, I believe that this might be a stretch for some listeners. And so I just want to say, I share my story, not because I want you to start shooting on yourself and saying, "Oh, I should be like Beth, and that's what it means to be an intuitive eater." I honestly share this story because I want you to know that putting an end to overeating or putting an end to the moments where you eat when you're not hungry is not the goal here, right? It's a lot about the mindset shift and about the relief that comes from learning how to trust your body. And I gave you some tips in this podcast on how to start doing that by, you know, shifting our mindset about emotional eating, you know, looking at ways we can start to shift habits that is less about willpower and more about kind of meeting ourselves where we're at and starting to dismiss the things that don't serve us rather than saying that they're bad. You know, no habits are good or bad. And I also talked about, you know, what it means to deprive yourself of satisfaction within meals and how that can actually lead, that's actually a product of not trusting yourself, right? When you only choose the fat-free ice cream because you shouldn't eat the full fat, you might be depriving yourself of a very essential nutrient, vitamin satisfaction. And without that nutrient, it's harder for many of us to feel happy and satisfied and be okay with what is, right? Meaning our meal, meaning our food. So there it is for you. There's the podcast. I hope this was helpful. I know that it's going to help the right people. I will see you next week. Hey there, beautiful soul. Do you ever find yourself caught in an endless loop of negative thoughts about your body and feel like you're in a constant war with what and how much to eat? If so, you're not alone. Reading a book, listening to a podcast, or talking to a friend may not be enough to help you experience total confidence with food and your body. For this reason, I have reopened my group coaching program, Peace with Food and Soul, a 4-month immersive space where you get to finally shed food and body guilt for good. I have dozens of testimonials from happy clients who will never spend another cent on diet culture solutions because they have created health, mind, body, and soul from the inside out in this program. Check out the show notes for a link to more information if joining a small community who gets you is just what you need to accelerate your journey. Thank you so much for listening in today. I am so grateful. If you enjoyed this podcast, I ask that you share it with a friend who might also benefit. And if you want even more support on your food and body journey, please check the show notes for information about my free Facebook group and private coaching opportunities. See you next time.